Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Any of us look back and say interracial marriage should still be illegal on the day after Barack Obama is elected president of the United States?
If Barack Obama's parents were same-sex married, Barack Obama would have never been born.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could get 20,000 people having sex for seven straight days?
What we're saying is we're willing to accept some infanticide as the implication of our support for abortion.
Faith has sustained me through the challenges and the joys of my presidency, and faith will guide me for the rest of my days.
Well, it seems part and parcel of the Christian life, doesn't it? Prayer. Everybody prays. They even say atheists pray in the right circumstances. So if the Muslim is praying five times a day, or if the Buddhist is praying within himself, or any other religion you want to name, what makes that different from the Christian praying? When Jesus' disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray, he doesn't give them a how-to. He doesn't give them a treatise on what prayer is, or does he? He gives them a prayer, a simple prayer, a prayer that Christians have been praying and hold dear for millennia, called the Lord's Prayer. We're going to begin in this hour of Pastor's Roundtable, a discussion of the Lord's Prayer that'll take us, well, several weeks. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 20th of November. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, not only for our Pastor's Roundtable, but also when we are joined by Colleen Carol Campbell to talk about the impact of our sexually saturated culture on teenage girls. She says that feminism and the sexual revolution has not been good to young women. Or audio open lines a little later. There's a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly report about a Catholic archdiocese refusal to work with Catholic school teachers union, unionizing. Is it Christian? Is it sinful? What is it? We'll talk about unions and the Christian faith during audio open lines later in the program. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Or email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Our pastor's roundtable today has some familiar faces, some new as well. Joining us by phone from Marysville, Washington, where he serves as pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church, Pastor Kurt Onken. Kurt, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Thanks for having me. It's an honor.
Here in studio, Pastor Paul Hemingway is associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville. Thanks for coming over. Not much of a drive, but thanks for coming over.
No, not much of a drive at all. Thanks for having me.
And Pastor Brian Holly's been with us before. He'll be with us again. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Hi, Brian.
Afternoon, Todd. It's good to be here.
Brian, first one goes to you. People say of the Lord's Prayer, and of prayer in general, Christian prayer in general, Christians tend to believe, that prayer begins with me. After all, it seems to make sense. It starts with what I say to God. It starts with my needs. Does prayer begin with me and my needs?
Well, that's a great question, Todd. You know, some of the folks in Messiah in Lebanon are probably tired of hearing me talk about it when we do talk about prayer. But I have a nice little illustration I like to use, and I'll try to describe it here on the air. But I like to start by drawing up two arches. Look very similar to the golden arches of McDonald's. And I suggest to the folks that this is kind of much of modern Christianity and much of the world's notion of prayer. And so we start in the lower left-hand corner, and it all starts with us. And then we make our request of God, and I kind of describe it as throwing up a Christmas list to our heavenly Santa Claus. And then he sifts through all of our requests. And depending on how good we are, how good our faith is, or a whole host of other things, that determines how much blessings come back down for us. And then, of course, we say thank you because we learned that when we were little. And if we say thank you well enough, hey, we even get more stuff. Yeah. And then I suggest to him that that model really doesn't match very well with what we learn about prayer in the Bible, from the Lord's Prayer, from the Psalms and elsewhere. And then I suggest if we flip that shape upside down so that now the diagram begins up in heaven with God, that that actually gives us a much better picture of what it means to talk to dialogue, to talk to God in prayer. And that's really what prayer is. He has invited us to talk to him.
So it begins, prayer rightly begins with God and his word and his promises. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I guess the other illustration, a lot of the folks over in Lebanon are connected with the military. And they understand that when you talk to someone of superior rank, that you just don't go walking in and talking to them like you do your normal buddies on the street that you spoke to when you're invited to be to speak to someone. And so here, the notion that God would invite us to talk to him is actually quite profound. And unless he invites such a dialogue, it's not going to happen. We have no claim, no ability to even approach him, to have a conversation with him. And yet, he has invited us to do exactly that. It's an amazing thing.
Pastor Onken, some people, in fact, it's sad to think about how many Christians know that the Lord's Prayer comes from the Bible, but they don't find themselves saying it very often. They think it's perhaps even among those things that Jesus condemned as mindless chatter or mere rote speech. They think, if the prayer comes from my heart, my own thoughts, my immediate circumstances, it's certainly going to be better and more sincere before God. Your thoughts there?
Well, yeah, I think that a lot of people do feel that way, and you hear even Christians who refuse to say the Lord's Prayer even in their not only their private devotion but their church services. When you think about the things that God has already communicated to us, like Pastor Holly was saying. I mean, he's spoken to us in his word. He's told us that he has promised to provide for all our needs, and so we bring our needs certainly before him. Like Luther, I think, once said that, God will certainly hear your prayers and answer them, maybe the answer that you want isn't what God's going to give you. He says, kind of like in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus invites us to come and pray, ask and will be given to you, seek and you will find. But he also talks about what a gracious Father he is, and I think we're probably going to be getting into that when we talk about the introduction, Our Father who art in heaven, the introduction of the Lord's Prayer. He says, which of you, if his son ask for bread, is going to give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake. Of course, God knows how to give good gifts to us, and Jesus really centers us on those things that he desires for us in those petitions in the Lord's Prayer. So, boy, if we can learn that prayer well, and then learn how to pray those petitions individually, and expand on those in our own prayer life, in our heartfelt prayers too, ex corde prayers, then I think certainly we're praying as God intends us to.
Pastor Hemingway, what does it mean to have God as Father? Many would say, hey, God's Father because he created us. He's the Father of all mankind. What does it mean to have God as Father?
Oh, man, that's a loaded question and has a lot of directions you could take that in. Narrow that down just a little bit, Pastor Wilkin.
Well, I mean, is it true that God is everyone's Father because he created everyone? Is that what we're saying when we say our Father who art in heaven?
Yeah, the Bible would say so. So I guess that's a good place for us to go for reference that, yes, he is our Father. And we as humanity are created in his image. And so when Christ teaches us to pray, and to go back to, maybe to your previous question and tie these two in together, if he is our Father, he's created us in his image, and due to the fall of mankind into sin, and then, you know, the need for his son to be incarnate and come to earth. We do not know how to pray, like you just said, you know, talking about the emotional prayer. Oh, the Lord's Prayer is invalid in the 21st century because it's just rote. It's just something we do. And therefore, prayer ought to be spontaneous or emotional or come from the heart or even better, all three in the minds of so many people. Then we are into some dangerous territory there if we're praying out of a fallen, sinful heart. So God being our Father, God sending us his Son gives us the great example of how we are to pray and attests to the fact that when Christ says, hallowed be thy name, he attests to the fact that his name and he is holy. And as he will say later on in the gospel, that why do you call me good? Only God is good. So God being our Father, God giving us the example to pray, and not following our own specific wants, needs, like Pastor Holly was talking about, that inverted model of prayer. We have a mandate, we have a direction to pray to God, who is holy, and yes, is our Father.
Pastor Paul Hemingway is Associate Pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois. He's part of our Pastor's Roundtable today, this Thursday, November the 20th. You can join us as well. Pastor Kurt Onken of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington, and Pastor Brian Holly of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois, are also with us for our roundtable. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Anyone who calls or emails us with a question or a comment on the Lord's Prayer as we begin our conversation in this Pastor's Roundtable will receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE, or email your questions to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to stay with that word, Father, when we come back, because there is so much misunderstanding about Christian prayer and about the God to whom we pray. It's interesting that when Jesus' disciples come to him and ask him to teach them to pray, he does not rebuke them. He simply gives them this prayer, beginning with this word, Our Father. We'll find out more what it means after this.
Treasury of Daily Prayer is truly a treasure chest of devotional gems for church, school, and home.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Bill Swirla, on the new devotional book, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
It is a great contribution to Christian prayer and devotion, bringing together scripture, devotional readings, psalms, and hymns into one book for pastors and people.
Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling 1-800-325-3040.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Rose Marie Hill, Ross King, Susan Black, Tammy First, David Blankenship, Greg Reiser, Lori Osdeek, Florence Rance, Garrett Agaginia, and Scott Conan. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor's Roundtable this Thursday, November the 20th, introducing the Lord's Prayer with the words that Jesus uses to introduce the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. Pastor Kurt Onken's on the phone. He's pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington. Pastor Onken, I need to thank you and our other participants in today's Pastor's Roundtable. I think this is a rare occasion, a trifecta. All three pastors who join us today, their congregations have very graciously become members of the Issues Etc. 300. So thanks not only to you, Pastor Onken, but Pastor Hemingway, Pastor Holly. Thank you on behalf of your congregations for the generous support that you give to Issues Etc. Really, really helps.
That's our privilege to support such a great program. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for doing what you do.
And, you know, there are many people out there who listen to this program who would like their congregation to have the same kind of privilege of supporting Issues Etc. They can do so. Just go to our website tonight, issuesetc.org. There's a flyer there under the sponsors page that tells you and your congregation all about the Issues Etc. 300 congregations that pledge at least $1,000 in their annual budget to support Issues Etc. It's a major support. It is the backbone of the support for Issues Etc. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click sponsors, and you'll find this flyer that explains everything you and your congregation need to know about the Issues Etc. 300. Okay, Pastor Holly. When God, here's the roadblock that many people have with our Father. The roadblock they have is, my Father is not the kind of Father I know Jesus must be talking about. If I went to my Father and asked him for an egg, he would give me a scorpion, or maybe he wouldn't be as generous. Do we need to be hung up on the shortfalls that we find in earthly fathers when we address our Father?
Well, I suggest that, and maybe I'm thinking now I'm looking at a bunch of pastors, so I'm thinking we at least need to be aware that in our world today, it is a truth that some people's understanding of Father may be different than our own individual experiences and everything. And so we need to be mindful of that as we teach the prayer. But once we begin to talk and explain to people what it means to have this Heavenly Father, this good and gracious Heavenly Father, this Father who has done more than we could ever ask and has provided in ways that we could never even imagine, then I think it actually begins to help us develop a notion of what an earthly father should be. I've got three kids. I fall well short of the man and the father I ought to be. But the notion of God as he's revealed himself to us in Scripture is actually a bit of a pattern for me to think about when I deal with my own kids and even as I interface with my wife. And so we need to be aware of what father means to everyone, but we need to make sure that we explain and show people God as he has shown himself to be, a good, gracious, loving Father who has adopted us in the washing of baptism and who calls us one of his own children. Lord's Prayer and baptism go hand in hand because that is where we are made children of God. We are children of Abraham by faith. We are part of his, on this side of the resurrection, we're part of his New Testament people. But it is by faith that we are his dear children.
Pastor Onken, we were talking about this during the break, so you weren't privy to the conversation, but I'm curious what you think about how big a deal is it that Jesus would say when asked, teach us to pray, not say, my Father who is in heaven, because he is rightfully the Son of God, but would include his disciples and therefore us in this, our Father. How big of a deal is it for Jesus the Son to tell us that God is our Father too?
Yeah, that's a huge deal. And if I could just maybe go back to something I was talking about beforehand, because I felt like I was rambling. I was trying to think on my feet to come up with that Luther quote that was one of my favorite quotes, and I found it while we were on break. He says, you shall confidently expect from God one of two things, either that your prayer will be granted or that if it will not be granted, the granting of it would not be good for you. And, you know, that's what a true father does. And I like what Pastor Holly was saying, understanding the true nature of fatherhood as revealed to us from God and his true goodness. And, you know, when I, for example, when I teach the Apostles' Creed, I talk about the first article, and it says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And how different that would be if we take the word Father out of that. I believe in God, the Almighty. You know, that's a terrifying prospect to hear those words. But yet when the word Father is inserted in there, then, and we understand true fatherhood, not what maybe some of our sinful fathers, even like ourselves, are, but the true, you know, holy and loving and perfect character of God, that's real different. But getting back to your question about our Father, yeah, the fact that we become part of the family of God, so to speak, we're adopted in Christ by faith and by baptism, and we're brought into this this corporate body. We're able to share with Jesus during his humiliation to go to his Father in prayer and to talk to him and to communicate to him. And we're given that same privilege in our earthly life here. And it's a relationship that we're in, not only with our Lord Jesus, but also with God the Father. And it also reflects on the corporate nature of prayer even now. The fact that we're in this body and we're all bringing our prayers together, and maybe even when I don't know what to pray, I'm struggling with my prayer life, or moments when I just don't feel like praying for whatever reason, yet then my brothers and sisters in Christ are offering up their petitions on my behalf and interceding for me too. So I think that word "our" expresses, yeah, that relationship we have with Christ, and also the relationship we have with one another.
Pastor Hemingway, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven," mm-hmm. and I think that is another roadblock that people have when it comes to Christian prayer. They think of God as distant. This is going to have to be a long-distance call that I make, that God certainly is powerful and able to help me, but he is far away from me, and it's almost like I have to put my little message in the bottle and set it adrift and wait for the answer to come back, if it comes back at all. When we think of God in heaven, are we thinking about a distant God?
No, not at all. In fact, to tie in what Pastor Onken and Pastor Hawley said about the idea of, you know, in baptism, being made into his children. And not only that, but let's talk about the Lord's Supper and the idea that God the Son comes to us. Okay, it's all about God the Son coming to us and God the Father revealed in the Son. So if we have a God who is that concerned with sending his own Son to be the atonement for that that fall into sin between us and him, and establishing that relationship, we got to remember that those things are so important. Those are, you know, when we talk about the visible means, that's not a far-off God. That's not a distant God. That's not a God who is just way off in the stratosphere, doesn't care about that close relationship with us, actually even touching us. That is the example, a great example of a God who wants to be right there, and he is right there. And to piggyback on what Pastor Onken said, the idea that we get the idea that God is distant because he doesn't answer prayer the way we want. Okay, and so we look around to what you mentioned a little bit ago, the broken homes that are in this country, in this world, the terrible relationships and terrible things that some parents have done to children in the past, and we look out and we say, where is God in all of this? How is this all working together? Refusing to admit our own fall into sin, and at the same time not seeing God when he does answer prayer, and for only choosing to say God must be present when it's on our terms. So if we look at God the Father as Christ has mandated, as Christ has shown us, we see a God who is incredibly close, incredibly near to us.
Pastor Hawley, with only about a minute and a half before we take our next break, this idea that God is actually going to listen to me, here's another roadblock. God is a busy man, so to speak, and people will literally picture some gigantic switchboard and a bank of receptionists all kind of taking God's call, and you sit on hold, and eventually God will return your call. How can it be that God has, or that I have God's undivided attention when I pray, Our Father who art in heaven?
Well, it is a miracle. There is no doubt about that. But equally miraculous, or even more so, is that a God in heaven, an all-powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, that he would take the time to personally be involved in each and every one of us. That is a miracle. And yet, that is God as he reveals himself to us in Scripture. He comes down to earth. He gets his hands dirty, so to speak. He is actively involved in the lives of his people, always desiring that they turn to him in repentance and that they cling to into the means of salvation that he has provided for them. But this individual picture, and you see it in Jesus when the Word incarnate was on the earth walking around, he knew people. Talk to them individually, personally, and that's the picture. And here, Jesus invites us to think about him as a father who cares about his individual children.
Our call-in number, we're taking a break when we come back, another half hour with our pastor's roundtable on the Lord's Prayer, an introduction to the Lord's Prayer, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE or talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. What do you make of the Lord's Prayer when you say, Our Father who art in heaven? What are your questions or comments about the Lord's Prayer? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. We'll be right back with our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday, November the 20th.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The presidential election has generated tons of controversy, in large part due to the new president's pro-abortion stand. During the campaign, Senator Obama said Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion throughout pregnancy, was settled law. In other words, the Supreme Court's decision is final, so move on. But I'm surprised the first African-American president of all people would forget history. In 1857, the Supreme Court's famous Dred Scott decision ruled blacks were mere property and not legal persons. Americans refused to accept this outrageous so-called settled law and move on. If they hadn't gone to all their blood, sweat, and tears, it's safe to assume Barack Obama wouldn't be our next president, nor would he have been a state or U.S. senator.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jan Keck, Mark Niendorf, Thomas Davis, Gretchen Gallo, Janelle Flancha, Lois Kosfeld, Pastor Robert Harris, Laurette Fadgen, Ken and Mary Bornert, and Richard Peterson. Thanks for your support.
We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. It's our Pastor's Roundtable. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Kurt Onken joining us on the phone and in the studio, Pastor Paul Hemenway and Pastor Brian Holly. Pastor Hemenway, why pray at all? Why even pray? Jesus says God already knows what we need before we ask, and God's in charge of everything anyway. He's got it all covered. Why do we even need to pray?
Oh, that's a great question, you know. And a lot of people are asking that. If God knows everything, why bother? And the fact is that we see in Scripture, God commands us to pray. We see that in Kings, to call upon God's name is nothing other than to pray. We see that when we are to pray, like the second commandment, which you guys talked about a while ago, you know, we're not to take his name in vain, so we're supposed to keep his name holy. But we're supposed to call upon God for our needs. He requires this of us. He actually commands it, literally commands it. And so this is one of those things. Why bother? Well, it's good for us to talk to God, like it's good for a child to talk to a parent. It's he asks us to do it, and all he wants, like you mentioned earlier, you know, what father gives the child a snake? And so in commanding us to do this, all God is doing is commanding us to do what is good for us. So I'm sorry. Go ahead, Todd.
Well, I was just wondering, Pastor Onken, another difficulty I think Christians may have with the Lord's Prayer and with prayer in general is the sincerity factor, or perhaps you could even just call it the attention factor. I start praying the Lord's Prayer and I get to about sentence three, and my mind is wondering, even though my mouth or my mind may still be going through the words, and I think, wow, that wasn't sincere enough. God isn't hearing that. Is the primary thing in prayer from the Christian perspective sincerity or careful attention to everything you're saying?
Boy, I don't know. I think that yeah, certainly God wants us to be, you know, sincere in our prayers and to think about what we're saying.
But does he promise to answer based upon our sincerity? Is he like the great pumpkin?
I see what you're saying. No, of course not, although I love Linus. No, he answers our prayers on the basis of who we are in Christ and the fact that Christ was always faithful for us. Christ was always sincere and hears prayers for us. And so it's on that basis that God graciously answers our prayers. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing about the Lord's Prayer. That's the wonderful thing about the liturgy, the context in which the Lord's Prayer is often used for many of us, is that I compare it to kind of like a ladder, because our minds do wander. Our minds are weak and sinful, and they do wander. Our congregation is right on a busy road, Highway 99, and we get cars driving by all the time with their boom boxes and whatever, and even I get distracted in the middle of the divine service, and I know our people do. And but I say, you know, the liturgy is kind of like a ladder. You're not that we're climbing up to heaven on the basis of our merits, not at all, but yet it's, you have these rungs that if you slip a little bit because you lose focus, then you can hang on to the next rung. And so certainly even while we're saying the Lord's Prayer, as we're saying these prayers, or any pre-written prayer that we might be using and using the thoughts of other Christians who have gone before us to inform our own prayer life, you can grab back onto one of those thoughts that's in that prayer and then carry on with that without thinking to yourself that, oh boy, I blew it again, I got to start over, what have you. You know, I'm God's a lot bigger than that, and he can put up with our lack of attention.
Pastor Holly, how would you respond to someone who says, look, the Lord's Prayer is great, kind of general use prayer, but I got things that aren't included in the Lord's Prayer that I need to address to God. The Lord's Prayer doesn't cover it all for me.
Well, I would attempt to engage that person, and I'd want to know more. I'd want to know what kind of concerns do they have, what kind of things are going on in their life that they don't think are addressed in the Lord's Prayer. I suspect you guys are going to spend quite a number of hours going through the Lord's Prayer. And I know when I pray it, when I lead the prayer in worship, for example, there's no way I can fully think about and fully comprehend everything that is rolled up in those simple words of the Lord's Prayer. So a little trick one of the professors at the seminary suggested to me is every time I pray it, I typically focus on one petition, just a little more than the others. And I try to rotate through the different petitions. But as you guys talk about everything that's covered in the Lord's Prayer, I'm pretty confident that there is little or nothing in anyone's life that isn't actually covered in the Lord's Prayer. Now, I will tell you that an awful lot of what people worry and are concerned about is covered in the fourth petition. and they would like to focus on that one a whole lot longer.
Which
and,
one is that? Which one do you mean?
Give us this day our daily bread, mm-hmm. because they would like to prescribe exactly what type of bread they are given, when the bread arrives, whether it is toasted, whole wheat, white, or whatever. And so they would like to really give God some instructions or some additional help. I remember some kids' Christmas letters. Santa, I want this. It's on page number whatever. I want the green one and these long. And so I think a lot of times that's what people are thinking about. And sometimes the problem is people don't understand everything that the Lord's Prayer encompasses. So a show like this is great. Confirmation instruction is great because people begin to see, wow, I'm praying for all of that when I use these simple words of the Lord's Prayer. You know, that Jesus, he really seemed to have known something.
Pastor Onken, is it the perfect prayer, the Lord's Prayer?
Well, if Jesus was the one who taught us that, I guess I'd have to say it is the perfect prayer. And, you know, I also love Luther's explanation to, not just in the small catechism, but to his barber when he was asked, you know, how to pray. And he gave him that simple instruction about using the chief parts of the catechism. And Luther does a wonderful job even taking each petition and then expanding on it and making a whole another prayer on each petition. And I used to talk about the all-encompassing nature of that, of the Lord's Prayer, that, you know, really the underlying needs and concerns that we all have are certainly wrapped up in that prayer. So, yeah, I guess I'd have to call it the perfect prayer. If Jesus wrote it, it's the best prayer.
I'd go for that.
Would you call it the perfect prayer, too?
Absolutely. It's fantastic.
You know, what I find in my personal devotion, and it sounds so pious to say personal devotion because it hardly qualifies, but what I find in that is that the Lord's Prayer is that prayer that beginning of the day, end of the day, whenever it may be, really does truly address every genuine need that I have, even if I don't may not feel that particular need at any time. And I can hardly think of a circumstance or a situation in my life that can't be addressed in one form or another by the Lord's Prayer. It seems to me that, and am I going too far, Pastor Onken, that if a Christian prayed nothing but the Lord's Prayer as their prayer for life, that there would be anything missing?
Probably not. I mean, we just got through saying it's the perfect prayer. although, you know, God certainly does invite us to speak to him in our own language, too. There's nothing wrong with that. We don't want to denigrate people who, I mean, we all do that, don't we? I mean, we're not saying that that's the only prayer that we're supposed to pray, or the colics of the church, what have you, as wonderful as all these prayers are, and the ways that Christians have used them in their devotion and their prayer life throughout the years. But certainly, you can't go wrong by using those petitions of the Lord's Prayer, and also, you know, understanding what each of those petitions mean, not doing it just as a magical formula and saying, okay, I got my prayer taken care of now that I said the Lord's Prayer, but to understand and to grow into that understanding. I mean, how I don't remember which pastor today said that, but, you know, how many of us really understand the fullness of all of those petitions? You know, we teach our young children the catechism, and some people might say, well, why bother teaching that stuff? I mean, they don't understand what they're saying. Well, how many of us adults fully understand all the richness of the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and the Creed, and everything that our Lord teaches us in the Scriptures? We're all constant learners, aren't we?
Pastor Holly, we only got about 30 seconds before this break. One of the things that Luther brings to the fore when he talks about this prayer, he paints a picture of little children coming to their dear father, dear children to their dear father with these requests, and the father intently listens. What is in there that we really need to understand about 30 seconds before our break?
Well, I think by stressing the little children point, I think he's getting at the fact that little children are very trusting of their parents, their father. And so they'll come to them with anything. Hey, I've got a problem. Whether it's little, big, imagined, real, they will come. As we grow older, as we get smarter, it seems like we want to do more things on our own. And we're not quite as apt. We want to handle things on our own. We don't want to need someone's help. And so I think he desires us to come not only with everything, but trusting fully like little children do. If they've got a problem and they lay it at the feet of their dad, they relax because they know that now it's in good hands.
Pastor Brian Holly is with us for our Pastor's Roundtable, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Joining him in the studio, Pastor Paul Hemenway, associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois. And on the phone, Pastor Kurt Onken, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington. Let's hear from you on the very first part of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father Who Art in Heaven, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Everyone who calls us or emails us will get a copy of the pamphlet, What About the Lord's Prayer? Talk back at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on the program, of course, it's Friday tomorrow, we'll have listener email, our responses to those, Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran Church, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Sponsors. The Issues Etc. 300.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. George Clausen, Walter Wagner, Rebecca Kitzman, Sally Jo Priest, Linda Bartlett, Michael Nevin, Deborah Cundiff, Marilyn Taddy, Curtis DaCosta, and Rebecca Thorne. Thanks for your support.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastors or lay leaders to hold a seminar in your area. Go to theclcc.org.
Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in our Pastor's Roundtable on the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father Who Art in Heaven. When you go to church this week, and I had mentioned tomorrow's program, Friday gets us up to the weekend, and as the weekend approaches, something you really ought to put into the hands of your church secretary or your pastor's hands, it's a little piece for your church bulletin all about Issues Etc. and what we've been talking about this week on Issues Etc. We update it every week just for you. All you've got to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org. Do you use it, Pastor Holly? Put in
sure
the bulletin?
It's been there the last few weeks
and
now.
It's very useful. You just go to issuesetc.org, click promote, and you'll find this weekly updated bulletin blurb. What do you call it? A blurb? A snippet? An announcement that you can put right into your bulletin. It says everything that needs to be said to those who go to church with you about Issues Etc. and what they can hear on this program as well. Issuesetc.org, click promote. Okay, you wanted to say something, Pastor Hemenway, about the intimacy that is called for here in Our Father Who Art in Heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. You asked this question earlier and about the necessity for the intimacy and the idea of, do we need to call him our Father? Is it really that important? I think a great example of the necessity of that and why it's so important is that is displayed in your bumper music, that Coldplay song. And Chris Martin, the singer, says in there, in the chorus, "For some reason I can't explain, I know St. Peter won't call my name." He's talking about the fact that he knows he is not saved. He goes on in other songs to talk about salvation and talk about God in various terms, but he actually calls it out in this one to say, I am not part of the kingdom. And so when we pray, truly pray, our Father, in those intimate terms, when we talk to him as our Father, we put our fear, love, and trust in him above all things as we talk about, you are praying and you are calling upon him and you are part of that kingdom. If that isn't a necessity, or if that isn't something that's very important, boy, I don't know what is.
So it is. It sounds like you're saying that the Lord's Prayer, as it begins, is not only a perfectly good prayer, but it's a confession of faith.
Absolutely. How can you pray for His will to be done and not ours with a sinful heart, unless you are confessing to be part of that faith? Now, absolutely, the non-believer can pray that in a rote way, which you talked about earlier, in a non-believing way. You can say those words, but to say those words with the gift of faith, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is to confess this.
Pastor Onken, what essentially is the difference between what we've been talking about so far here, essentially Christian prayer? I mean, what could be a better example of Christian prayer than the Lord's Prayer itself? What's the difference between Christian prayer and all the other praying that's happening out there in the world? The Muslim prays, the Buddhist prays, the Jew prays, unbelievers pray, people with no religious knowledge will it under certain circumstances pray. What's the difference?
Yeah, the trouble is they're not praying to the true God, and they're not praying to the one who is our intercessor, and that's Christ. And so true prayer is to the true God. And I was reminded, too, by one of my church members who's evidently listening, and his wife works at the church, and he must have called in and sent a little note here asking about, even about, what about the Holy Spirit taking care of our prayers, too? You know, it's Trinitarian prayer, you know, in the power of the Holy Spirit who gives us faith to trust in the true God. And we pray through God the Son to our Heavenly Father. And even when we don't know what to pray, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, and then the Holy Spirit is also then interceding for us with groanings that words can't express. So true prayer is Trinitarian prayer. And so all other prayer is not real prayer.
And Todd, if I may, a lot of times people think prayer is just simply a way to ask for something so that I get what I want. And I think that's really giving a short shrift to prayer. In prayer, we're in dialogue with God. We are speaking to God. Unbelievers, when they pray, they're hoping. I mean, they're directing some kind of a wish somewhere. But because it's not directed to the true and the only true God, it's an empty hope. But a Christian prayer is directed to a being who has revealed himself to us, who has demonstrated his great love for us, and has provided the means whereby we come to know him and are brought to faith. The Spirit creates that faith. And so our hope is not the same kind of uncertain or, boy, I hope I win the lottery kind of hope. It is a sure and certain hope that is connected with what Jesus Christ did on the cross on Calvary. It is as sure and certain as his death and his resurrection. And all of that is then given to us as children of God, so we call him Father. And so we now have a part of our Lord's inheritance. It's all now ours. It's a sure and certain hope. It's as sure and certain as our Lord hanging there on the cross and our Lord rising again on the third day.
Pastor Onken, Pastor Holly had mentioned that prayer is a dialogue, and I think we do need to qualify that. I mean, I agree it's a dialogue, but we need to explain that a little better, because some people would say, okay, I send up my prayer, and then I'm just going to sit quietly in my room with my eyes closed and wait to hear from God on this thing. I want to hear God's voice, or I look out my window and I say, maybe there's a sign I should be looking for as I drive down the highway. Is there a sign by which God's going to answer this prayer? And I think people become discouraged in prayer for that very reason, sitting there quietly in the room waiting for God to somehow whisper in their ear an answer. How does God answer these things?
Yeah, or putting out the fleece like Gideon did and trying to find a sign. Yeah, God answers all our prayers in Christ. The ultimate hope and the future promise that we have waiting for us in heaven, all those things are all wrapped up in Him. And the things that we are concerned about in this life all kind of fall aside, don't they, when we look at things in the scheme of eternity. You talk to a lot of people that either say they claim that God talks to them, and I always ask them, well, "What's He saying? How do you know? Is it a voice that you hear?" And they usually claim it is, but I wonder. I sometimes think it's their own wishful thinking and how they hope God is going to answer their prayer, and the burning in the bosom, so to speak, that some people feel that they have, and that's an answer to prayer. I think our Mormon neighbors talk about that, but how do you know that's just not yesterday's enchilada? And I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just that we get a lot of feelings and our sinful nature can deceive us. And the sure and certain word is the word of God, what's been revealed to us in Holy Scripture. Those are the promises of God that we can absolutely count on. And everything, what St. Paul says is right, everything is yes in Christ Jesus.
Pastor Kurt Onken is pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Marysville, Washington. Pastor Onken, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the support your congregation has given to Issues Etc. by being part of the Issues Etc. 300, and thank you very much for being our guest.
You bet. Thanks for putting up with my feeble answers, and I told Jeff I was shaking in my boots here. I still am. I'm glad this is over. I'm nervous as all get out.
You got nothing to worry about. None of it came over the air. You got nothing to worry about.
All right.
Pastor Brian Holly, a regular guest here on the program, pastor of Messiah Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Illinois. Godspeed to you, and thanks to your congregation again for being part of the 300.
Well, I appreciate that, but we also understand that's just God working through us.
That's a nice way of putting it. And Pastor Paul Hemingway, associate pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church here in Collinsville, Illinois. Very nice to meet you today, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor, and God bless all you do. We sure do appreciate it.
Go back to the Saints of Good Shepherd, to Pastor Walther, and make sure you thank them for being part of the 300 as
absolutely,
well.
Absolutely,
yeah. When we misunderstand prayer, it really stems from a fundamental misunderstanding of who God is for us. If you think you've got a God you've got to bargain with, a quid pro quo God, a kind of God who wants something from you before He's going to give something to you, then of course your prayers are going to look very different than the Lord's Prayer. Notice one of the things about the Lord's Prayer is it's all petition. It's all asking. Nothing is offered to God whatsoever. There are no bargains struck whatsoever, because Jesus knows full well what kind of God we have. He has come to reveal this God to us in His perfect life and His death and His resurrection for us. This is a God who above all things gives. This is a God who above all things promises and makes good on His promises. This is a God who has made it His business to care for His dear children in every way that they need caring for. First and foremost, through the forgiveness of sins, it stands at the center of this Lord's Prayer. And then all of the other needs that we have. This is a God whose will for us is always good, whose holy name is the very best thing we can have. It is, in fact, our entree to His riches and all of His promises. And this is a God who has given us a Savior who gives us this prayer. Remember, this prayer comes to us through the Savior Himself. People often say, well, the Lord's Prayer it breaks Jesus' cardinal rule. It's not prayed in Jesus' name. Jesus doesn't end it in Jesus' name. Think again. This is the very prayer that Jesus has crafted for us. He's put these words into our mouth so that we might address His Father as our Father, and that can only be done in Jesus' name because of His shed blood at the cross for us. That's the Lord's Prayer. We'll talk more about it in the second hour of the program. We'll be talking about unions. Are they sinful? Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilken and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program.
Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.